I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Thank God for today. Today is the last but one, right? Okay, there's one left after today of the Sundays in 2016. And it's a blessing to have come this far into this year, isn't it? And I thank God for the privilege of being alive and the gift of life. It is not automatic that you get to live, and is not guaranteed. Actually, no one owes you living. Amen. And I don't think we are better than any of the people who didn't get to make it this far. But it is the case that God has been gracious to us. God has been helpful to us. He has been particularly merciful to us. And because of that, we are still around. Amen. Amen. The Bible says it is of the mercies, it is because of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. Amen. Amen. It is because of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. And so I want to encourage you. Right around this time, people are beginning to reflect on the year and beginning to think about what they could have done better, what they didn't get to do, which they were hoping to be able to do. Some of the things they began the year with and which they have lost somewhere along the line. And all kinds of thoughts go through people's minds around this time of the year. But I want you today to give you a dominant thought. Amen. 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 Something which should dominate your thinking from now into the end of the year in preparation for the coming year. Amen. Amen. I want you to plan or begin to plan what next year is going to look like. Wow. For your Christian life. Amen. 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 What next year is going to look like for a Christian life. You know, it's a blessing to have a new year always, because a new year gives you a chance for a new start. You know, and it helps you psychologically to start. Every day is a new start. But when you have a new year, it's like you have a new block of days. And you can redesign your life and restructure your life to include some important things that will be a blessing to you. Amen. Right. So I'm going to share with you what I think is a very important message. Amen. But before I do that, I want to remind you, next Sunday is Christmas Day, and we're going to have our Christmas service right here. But before that, we're going to have our Christmas Eve carol service, right? Yes. And that will also be here on Saturday. So this weekend, it's Saturday and Sunday. Amen. Saturday evening at 7 and Sunday morning at 10. Amen. We're going to have two very interesting services. One of them will be the carols and music service featuring our wonderful Eden. Yeah. And we're going to have some great music. Yeah. Joel and Jason are going to play us some really good songs as well. And we're going to have a poem from Paul. And it's going to be powerful. Amen. So please invite someone. Come along. It's Christmas time. Amen. It's not just a holiday season. It's Christmas time. And that makes a big difference. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to make it to that meeting next Sunday and next Saturday. Right. Okay. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for your blessing. And we thank you for the opportunity to hear the word of God. And I pray for the help of the Holy Spirit that you will be with us and guide us into all truth. Teach us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. So now, today I want to talk about following hard after God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Bishop had a camp recently, which was about an army of hard followers. And this whole week, I've been sharing with some people on the other side about following hard. So I'm thinking that I must share with you also about following hard. Amen. And I think it is a very important message, and it's a very important theme, like I said, something that must dominate your thoughts as we go into the end of the year and as we prepare into or prepare to embrace a new year. Amen. We're about to embrace a new segment of your life, a brand new segment of your life that you have not seen before. And I want to encourage you to include this element in that segment because it will be a blessing for you. Amen. So Psalm 63 and verse 8. Psalm 63 and verse 8. Psalm 63 and verse 8. It says, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Amen. My soul followeth hard after thee. Hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Amen. That my soul, I am following hard after you. There's a difference between following someone and following hard after the person. Amen. The best example of hard following that comes to mind is a police chase. A police chase. You know, people follow people. For example, when there's a funeral procession, people follow people, isn't it? Vehicles follow others in a convoy, you know. But that's not a hard following. There is no aggression in the following. It almost feels like people, actually, that kind of following requires some gentleness. You know, I once intercepted, you know, a funeral convoy. Actually, I wasn't thinking. And I didn't notice that was what was happening. So I think I came up to a junction and these guys were there. And someone had left some space, you know. And I just turned and got into the line and we just kept moving. But after a while, it occurred to me that I'm in the wrong place, you know. But that was possible because someone left a gap. Someone who was following was not closing in and was not really under any pressure to close in, didn't feel any urgency because the nature of that ceremony itself, you know, calls on your most gentle parts, your most solemn behavior and composure. And it shows in the way you drive and the way you, you know, pull yourself along. And the whole thing is so gentle and gradual, it can afford such things. But not so with a police chase. Not so when you hear the sound of the sirens and the emergency vehicles coming along. You know that you are actually safer out of their way, isn't it? So that's when you pull over, you actually park your car and just get out of their way because you know, sometimes you don't even know where the vehicle is coming from. But you just feel a sense of urgency and you feel a sense of aggression and you can see that someone is following someone but is following the person in a hard way. Amen. Now, God wants you to be an emergency vehicle in relation to Him. Hallelujah. There are too many passive followers of God. Too many of us follow God with no energy at all. With no drive at all. Our following of God is in convenience mode. Is as and when it's convenient, we'll do it when we're ready to do it. No one should push me. No one should force me. I mean, we have people who even like, you see, we have people in our church who are charged with the responsibility of looking for others or looking out for other people, you know. We call them the follow-up team. And they follow up on people. They call people. I'm sure you may have received a call at some point from one of them. You know. Now, one of the problems these people have is that people get upset when they are called. Why are you looking for me? It's like, why does it bother you that I'm taking a break of God? Do you see what I'm saying? Or why should it be an issue that I haven't been to church for a while? Or that you haven't seen me for a while? You know, one of the things I don't know if I got to it, but you know, we've been talking about lay people and ordinary people helping, right? Now, one of the things ordinary people do or can do to help is to help pastors account for the sheep. The Bible says that we must obey those who have the rule over us because they watch over our souls as they that must give account. They watch over our souls like people who must give account. You know, you watch over the person. You know, when you're watching over something like someone who must give account, you're a little more vigilant because somebody's going to come and ask you. Do you get it? But there are times when you watch over something like someone who will not have to give account. See, the other day I was sitting at the airport. This gentleman gets up to go to the bathroom and he leaves his bag and he gives me, you know, an eye wink, you know, and just like, you know, check out this bag while I'm gone. And I agree, yeah, but not as one who is going to give account. I don't know what is in his bag. He can't come back from the bathroom and come and ask me what happened to his bag. And by the way, if while you're in the bathroom, my plane comes, I'm gone. Do you see what I'm saying? But I accepted to watch over his bag. It's a different kind of watching over something. You know, yes, it's a courtesy. That's right. You know, I'm just doing you a nice favor that while I'm here, and for as long as I'm here, and for as long as my flight is not boarding, I can watch over this bag. I mean, I don't even know what I'll do. If someone went to open the bag, I don't know what I'll do. You go smack the person. You know, but at least I tried. I accepted to do something, you know. But when something has been committed to you and you're watching over it with the mind of being able to give account, then one of the things you don't want to do is to lose any of it. Do you see? It's to lose any. If someone leaves their kids with you, three of them, you don't want them coming back to find two. And then when they ask you, where is the third one? You say, ah, did you leave three? I thought there were only two, you know. So watching over something that you have to give account for requires some diligence. It requires some diligence. It requires some strength. And you have to sort of apply yourself to it in a way, do you see? And that is what makes us look for people. Because the Bible says we're going to give account. We're going to give account. And ordinary people in the church can help us or can help pastors to look after the sheep, you know, as people who will give account. That means the ordinary people can help us give account and account for the people. Where is this person? Where is that person? Why is this person not in church? Why haven't we seen them in a long time? That sort of accounting must go on all the time. Hallelujah. And that is why people call others. But back to my message, what I'm saying is that even this looking out for people tends to upset some people. Now, why are you looking out for me? You shouldn't be looking out for me. Allow me to serve God when I can, when I feel like it, when it's convenient for me, and when it feels right for me, because it's God. It's amazing how when it comes to what we have to do in relation to God, we want to do it in our own time. But when it comes to what we need God to do for us, we need him to do it in our time. Is it true or not? Yes. When we need something from God, we need him to do it when we want it, not even as it suits him. It must be when we want it. Lord, you know something? I want it and I want it now. I heard about someone who was praying for patience and said, Lord, please give me patience and I need it now. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, bless me with a gift of patience and do it now. Like right now, right now. By the time this prayer is over, Lord, I see myself being patient. I am patient, Lord. I am patient, Lord. Here cometh patience. I receive it now. One of the popular refrains in a church is now. I receive it now. Receive it now. Be healed now. Be delivered now. Receive financial breakthrough now. May God lift you up now. May the devils leave you now. Everything is now. Yeah. But that is not applicable to anything that comes from you to God. How come the things that come from you to God don't have a sense of urgency about them? That, Lord, I need to pray and I'm going to pray now. I want to read my Bible and I'm going to read it now. Not after I finish texting, not when the news is over, not when I have nothing to do, but Lord, you brought it to my mind to read the Bible. I'm reading it now. There is no urgency about that. And the reason is that our souls are not following hard after him. Our following of God is passive. Our following of God is not active. It's not something we're doing with a strong intention and a mind to, you know, just follow and pursue after God. We do not have a hunger for him. Hallelujah. We do not have a hunger for him. I mean, I like movies that have car chases. Yeah. Sometimes before I watch a movie, I just come through to see, is there any car in it? Is this movie? Yeah. No, I can't deal with these movies that have horses and chariots. Those things, they don't move fast. They are difficult for me to watch. But you have these movies where you can see about 5 to 10 minutes of someone going after someone. Those kinds of things just excite me. Yes. And I like to watch those things like Fast and Furious. It's my kind of thing. Yeah. James Bond. Yes. Where they're going to chase the guy. They chase him first in a car. Then he'll crash the car and jump on a waiting motorbike and chase him, run through a building, and then jump onto a boat and then just chase. I mean, the guy can drive anything. From the boat, he would just jump onto a helicopter and start to fly that one. Those kinds of things excite me, really. If you want to be a James Bond, you have to have a pilot's license, you have to have a motorbike license, you have a train license. I mean, he can drive anything that moves, he can move it. You know. But God wants that kind of aggression from you. Whoever said that God was supposed to be worshipped with gentleness? Some people even find some churches noisy because God must be worshipped in quietness and in holiness. Because the Lord is in his holy temple, and let all the earth be silent. It is true that there is some amount of silence involved in serving and worshiping. But you know, the silence in God is actually an aggression. It's an act of aggression. It's you are trying to quieten and silence everything else and to engage focus. Do you see? So what looks like is quiet is actually a strength. Have you ever been in a situation where the silence is deafening? Yeah, it's so silent that it's loud. Sometimes even the tension between you and another person. Who has felt that before? Yeah. That there's so much tension. Or you meet someone, you don't even know what to say to them. And for about 10 seconds when you don't know what to say to each other, there is this loudness, and this loudness is actually silence. That the fact that no one is saying anything is making me uneasy, makes me want to do something else. Amen. God wants us to follow him. Following someone in a hard way makes a huge difference to the outcome of following the person. Amen. Yes. That is why police officers give a hard chase, because they know it will affect the outcome. The police officer knows that it's not enough to be going in the direction that the thief or whoever it is going. Which way did he go? He went northward. Okay, let's just follow him. No. The police officer knows that if you are just going, you're headed northward. Yes, it's the right direction, but your speed will leave you with nothing. Your speed will leave you with nothing. You won't catch anything. In fact, at the end of the day, you will begin to question whether it's been worth coming in this direction or coming after this person at all. Does it make sense? Yes. At the end of the day, you're going to wonder if someone said to you that the person was on, what's this road that comes here? 210, right? Yeah? 210, the freeway. So this way is 210 East, right? Okay. So 210 East is where the guy went. Someone has kidnapped a child and the person is headed, you know, east on 210. It's not enough to also say that I'm also headed east because that's where the person went. The whole thing is about going in the right direction, but going in the right direction at the right pace. The pace matters too. Does it make sense? The pace matters too. Do you agree with me that the pace matters? That it's not enough to go east because the thief went east. But you must head east with strength and follow hard in the eastward direction. That's the only case in which you can even have hope of catching anything or getting anything from the effort you are putting in. Amen. So it is no wonder that some people don't seem to get much out of God. Some people don't seem to see much out of serving God. And the less they see or they feel they are seeing out of serving God, you know, the more it makes them serve Him less. Because their conclusion is that there is not much to be gained from serving the Lord. And so they feel that, you know, then it's not even worth it. And some people just continue and continue until they actually fall off along the way. But the reason why people do not get much out of God is not because God doesn't have much to offer, but it is that they do not follow hard after God. They do not follow hard after God. They do not come after God with passion. They do not come after God with a sense of zeal and energy. They have energy for other things. I mean, you should see people getting ready to go to parties. Yeah, you should see people getting ready to go to parties. I mean, they way in advance of the party, they know what they're going to wear. They're walking in the malls. They're checking out clothes. They're checking out how clothes look on other people. They're checking out, you know, they're seeing. And these days, everybody has a camera. So they see people wearing a certain dress or some particular outfit. They just take a picture of it. You wouldn't even know someone has taken a photo of you. Yeah. And they start to hunt and look for the same clothes. They try to find where it's being sold. They get ready. People prepare with aggression for what really matters to them. Yeah. People prepare with aggression for what really matters to them. But when it comes to God, there is no such aggression. There is no such interest. There is no such drive. Everybody is in laid-back mode. And even the effort to pull you forward is more like you're trying to get something that is leaning backwards to come forward. So you go forward in a backward way. Do you understand? You're going forward, but you're going forward in a backward way. Amen. Yeah. You're going forward here, yeah, but you're leaning so far back. Yeah. You're not getting much out of God because of your posture. You're not postured right where God is concerned. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. How come you have zeal when it comes to going to work? You should see people rushing off to work because they believe that their daily bread is connected to that. So may I conclude then that the reason why you don't rush towards God is because you don't think there's much of your existence actually connected to Him. Yeah. I mean, you should see people getting up and just coming on, taking their makeup into the car. You know, do you know why people do their makeup in the car? You think it's because they don't have mirrors in their homes? No, because they're trying to get somewhere. Do you see? Following hard after the job. Yeah. That's how the light goes green and you see the person. Just let me just wrap up this lipstick. Just finish it off. You have guys who don't take showers because they have to get to work. Yeah.
Drive through shower.
Yeah. They have to get to work. These showers, you have to turn the shower on and leave it running for a little bit. And you know, that's just, it's for leisure showering. You know? Yes. So they skip the shower. People don't iron their clothes. Yeah, the people who don't brush their teeth. Yes, they just get mouthwash, right? Big bottle of scope. Yeah. And then they fill their mouth with it. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes they rush outside and forget to spit it out. They just swallow it. Just swallow it. They just swallow it. Because I must get there. I must get there. I'm following hard after my job. Yeah. See a guy following hard after a girl. Oh. He's calling. He's texting. Sometimes, you know, sometimes they are calling and texting at the same time. Check your phone. I just sent you a message. Oh, baby. Yes. Because what I want to say, you can't hear it. You need to see it. Yes. You need to see what I'm saying. Yes. Following hard after the girl. I mean, when someone is following hard, he doesn't even have money. I mean, he's broke. But he can afford to go there. Yeah. With zeal. With strength, with energy, buying flowers, crisscrossing the town, make sure the flowers are arranged properly, you know. Sometimes the rose is kind of dry. He just pulls off those last two petals and just eliminates them because they're killing the whole show. Following hard. Yeah. Following hard. When people are following hard, they are constantly in touch with each other. Yes. Next time you meet someone who is in love, you just check their phone. Just check. Just tell the person. You just want to know what love is. I want to know what love is. And I want you to show me. That's it, yeah. So you want to know what love is, and you want her to show you. And she's going to show you. Yeah. Everyone says you. Yeah. It's a Verizon sustained love. Amen. All I'm saying is that God wants you to follow hard after him. Amen. And look at right there. We can see the reward that comes from following hard. He says his right hand will uphold you. His right hand will lift you up. His right hand will sustain you. Right? The right hand is a symbol of strength. And he said his right hand will lift you up. He will sustain you if you follow hard after him. Yeah. When you follow hard after God, the hard parts, you know, when the police are chasing somebody, they came, the road sort of comes and meanders into maybe a hilly place or something. It doesn't change much. No. As you go uphill, the gears are changed. The acceleration is increased at anticipation of the hill. But it so happens that for us, when we are following God, things like distance, things like tiredness, you know, work, finances, you know, things that are not obstacles in other settings become obstacles when it comes to serving God. Yes. When people don't feel too good, they still go to work. But when people don't feel too good, they don't go to church. They don't pray. They don't even get out of their beds. That's just about when they don't feel good, they still go to work. They follow hard after that. But God is showing us today that if you will place him, I mean, we're going into a new year. We're going into a new year. And I'm trying to give you something to think about. Amen. That in the coming year, be determined to be a hard follower of God. Hallelujah. Be determined to be a hard follower of God. Don't follow other things. Follow God. Amen. In God, you will find everything. Amen. In God, you will find everything. Amen. And even whatever remains unfound as you serve God, God will sustain you as you wait for it. Wow. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. God will sustain you as you wait for it. Following God, it's the best thing you can do for yourself. Yeah. It's the best thing. It's the one thing that comes with everything. It's the one effort you make that helps with everything. And if you decide to follow God in the coming year with hardness, you have to be hard if you're going to follow God. Amen. You have to be hard. You have to be tough. You have to be strong. You have to be relentless when you're following God. Amen. You have to be relentless when you're following God. Hallelujah. What does it mean to follow hard after something? Number one, it means to follow closely upon something until you feel its presence. To follow closely upon something until you feel its presence. That's what it means to follow hard after something. To follow closely upon something until you feel His presence. We need to follow God until we can feel His presence. God's presence is something you can feel. It's a knowledge you can have. It's something you can feel. You can feel the closeness to God. There are times when you sort of don't know. I've had times when I've wondered whether God was close at all. Do you see? Yeah, there are times when it feels that way. But there are times also when you just know that God is not far away. That God seems to be near. You can hear Him speak to you. You can see Him make a way for you. You can feel God's presence around you. If you follow God hard enough, you will begin to feel His presence.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. When God's presence is around you, when God's presence is around you, it challenges the difficulties. It challenges the things that fight against you.
Yeah.
I have noticed that anytime I feel God's presence. I mean, you see, there are times when I have difficult situations on my mind and difficult questions. Even sometimes people ask me difficult questions. You know, difficult questions. And I wonder, Lord, how am I going to get past this one? Sometimes I am in a, you know, situation like a counseling type of situation, and then somebody brings up an aspect of the issue that is much more difficult than I even imagined, you know. Yes. And sometimes as they're asking the question, I'm just praying, Lord, by the time he finishes, I have to have an answer, you know. But when his presence is with you, you don't even know where you get the answers from. Yes, you don't even know how could this have come out of you. You have answered the question, and both you and the person you're answering it to are learning it for the first time. Yeah. That's what his presence does. If you follow him hard enough, you're going to feel his presence. You will feel his presence. When you don't know what to do, God will be there. When you don't know what to say, God will be there. When you don't know how to answer, God will put the answer right in your mouth. Because you will feel his presence. My soul follows hard after you. Hallelujah. Number two, it means to try to find out more about something. To follow hard after something is to try to find out more about that thing. Amen. Most of human inventions and human research findings are a reward for hard following. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? The things we know about bacteria and the things we know about so many little things that you don't ordinarily, because as we're here, bacteria is here. Do you know that? There's bacteria all around. You know, but you don't see them with passive following. If you say, I want to see the bacteria, okay, well, you start to look. You won't see anything. You won't see anything. Because bacteria doesn't answer to passive looking and just searching. You have to go get an apparatus. You have to go get a microscope. Go get some thick lenses and assemble them. And for that effort, bacteria says, here. I mean, to get a selfie of a bacteria is really tough. You have to show that you are serious, that you really want a picture of the bacteria. You know, just because you lift your camera doesn't mean the bacteria will show up. No. The bacteria only answers to extra effort to see it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you follow hard about hard after something, you're going to learn more about it. Amen. If we want to follow hard after God, it means learning more about God. It means reading your Bible every day. And not just every day. I find some of the most productive times for me, I mean, for me, the way I really learn from reading the Bible is when something occurs to me and I go after it. Do you understand? Yes. And I find out those are Holy Spirit leadings. It is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. See, the Holy Spirit is a teacher, right? The Holy Spirit is a teacher. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says, but ye have an unction, right? It says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You know, it's like you have something from the Holy One by which you know things, right? Then look at verse 27. Verse 27, 1 John 2, 27. It says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. It says, the anointing teacheth you of all things. The anointing will teach you about everything. Amen. The anointing of God on your life will teach you about everything.
Amen. Jesus' name.
Yes.
Wow.
None of us knows enough of what we need to know about anything. That is the truth. Because we are raised by people who don't know it all. If you're raised by imperfect people with partial knowledge, how could you turn out knowing it all? So you may come from the best of homes, but even the best of homes lack so much. Yes, that's how come we all fail. That's how come we all struggle. That's why there's so much divorce. That's why there's so much confusion. Because we really don't know as much about what we are doing as we ought to know. That is the truth. We really don't know as much about it. We need the teacher. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the teacher. We need the Holy Spirit. You even try to raise your child the way your mother raised you and you realize you're raising two different children. Yeah. When you look at your child, you see he's different from you. So if you raise him the way you were raised, you might actually get it wrong. People have different temperaments. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a kind of temperament that sits down. You say, sit here, and he would just be sitting there, and you just go around all day and just come and find him sitting there. Then there's the other kid. Sit down. Then he will stand up. Sit down. He'll sit down and stand up. Sit down. He'll sit down. He wants to obey you, but he just can't. Yes. He's sitting, but he's standing in his heart. Yeah. You don't raise that person the same way as you raise the other one that sits all day waiting for you to come and say, stand. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us how to relate with people, what to do. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us even how to work. How to do your job. The Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about God. We're talking about those people who built the temple. The people who built Solomon's temple. There was a guy called Bezalel. He was like one of the top engineers for the building. And the Bible says that the Lord anointed him with skill. Why don't you pray that God will anoint you with skill for what you do? For what you do. Why do you rely so much on the few things that some unbelieving professor taught you who himself has not prospered? We go to school and are taught by professors who have not prospered in what they are teaching us. What they're teaching us is for them is just a routine, is a mental exercise. Just run some things through our brain. But in terms of benefiting from the knowledge they have, there's very little benefit. Somebody has to recognize and, you know, respect that knowledge and reward them for their time. You went to the place, taught the students, here is something small for you. True prosperity never comes from just a routine 9-to-5 job. You can never prosper from just going to work, doing what you do, best business as usual. Prosperity answers to excellence. It's people who excel in something who get to prosper from it. And for you to excel in something, you need extra. You need to do extra. Do you understand? You need to put out something extra. And the extra, no other person can help you pull it out like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Bible says God anointed this Bezalel. He could work with wood. He could work with metal. He could work with all kinds of gadgets and all kinds of things. And it was an anointing. It was a grace. May God give you grace to excel in what you do. Whatever you do, you can excel it. God can make you really good with numbers. Yes. Because the Bible is full of numbers. Have you observed that the Bible is full of numbers? There's always numbers everywhere. There's always some counting and accounting of people, their ages, the number of people there, the number of people who crossed, how many people did this, bring six this, bring that. God is not dumb to numbers. No. God can help you with numbers. God can help you with programming. Programming. I mean, creating a sequence of logic, God can do it. I mean, if you look at yourself, you can see that a good programmer has put you together. There's some good coordination going on. There's somebody who knows what he's doing. Yeah, someone has set the eyes here. I mean, when you go to an ophthalmologist, you see what he does, trying to get you to see right. So you can see what someone has done. Do you understand? For when you have perfect vision, you can see what someone has done without all those things. They ask you to sit somewhere. They say, close one eye. Read that. Then you read it. Then it gets smaller and smaller. Then close this one and read it. That's a man trying to figure you out. But God set you up with all that from when you arrived. Wow. Yes. There's some programmer who knows what to do and he's worked all these things out. Worked cycles into people, things moving around our bodies, our systems. Nobody triggers anything. The thing is just working. That's what the programmer is trying to do. You're trying to automate processes. And you're trying to let things work by themselves. God is the master of making things work by themselves. Creating automated processes began with God. And systems that run things began with God. Who is it that turns on the switch for the sun? Who turns on the switch for the sun? When it's time for the sun to set, who has the job of flipping that switch? We are now just discovering how to program things. The other day I saw a car and they made an app and they said you can turn on the engine, you know, you can start the car by downloading the app that works the car, you know, and then you just download it and you punch some numbers and then you can start the car. And then from there also you can program the lights in your home and all those things. These are all recent discoveries. God has known these things for thousands of years. Our pace of learning is so slow that no one generation can produce sufficient knowledge. So each generation just invents. By the time you can make a car that can move like 10 miles per hour, it's time to die. So you just have to just clear off. So it's the next person has to come and take it from where you left off and try to make that car run a little faster, up to 15 to 20 miles per hour. And it's time for him to die also. You know, so he also has to go off. So it's taken so many generations for us to make cars and airplanes that fly as fast as they fly now. Do you know if God intends for us, and I'm sure there will be a day when cars will be moving so much faster, airplanes, different kinds of things. I think God had all these things in mind. Otherwise, he would never have said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was said a long time ago. How was he expecting us to get to all the world and preach the gospel? I mean, if I start riding my horse from Kolegono in Ghana, when am I going to get to Pasadena? Or get in my canoe or something that I put together. I mean, the oceans are going to eat me up. Yes, you try to go to the Pacific areas, like from LA, if you're going to Sydney. The airplane just takes off, and 3 seconds after that, it's actually on the ocean. Yes. And then it stays on the ocean for 14 hours, 16 hours. That's an airplane that's moving at more than 500-600 miles per hour. And it's on the ocean for 16 hours. And when you get to Sydney, because Sydney is also right at the port, at the shore there. So you get to Sydney and then the plane just comes down. That's it. So it's 16 hours on the ocean. It is scary. And Jesus said, take the gospel over there. Do you think he was planning for you to swim? Where would you take your breaks? you turn over and float. That's when some shark will come and get you. So actually, God intends for us to experience all the things we are experiencing now. It's our pace of learning that is slow. We learn, we're way too slow. And you know, actually sin has really slowed down. It's clogged our learning abilities and it's really slowed us down. Yes. It's like a virus that has infected this computer. Now when you say even just turn on, it's a problem. Have you seen a computer that is heavily infested with no program can open? Disables all kinds of software, programs that could have worked faster. You see them, just you put 2 + 2, you hit equal, you just have to wait. And the thing is just going round and round and round and round and round and round because you have a virus. Yeah, so your capacity is severely limited and hampered by the virus that's on there. Sin is a killer. It makes us dumb. It makes us dull. Remember, sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death is the end of it. But the process to death is all part of the wages of sin. Hallelujah. Does it make sense what I'm sharing with you?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Holy Spirit can help you. The Holy Spirit can help you. The Holy Spirit can help you with what you do.
Amen.
For a living. Start praying and connecting him with it. You'll be surprised that his presence will guide you. God will give you answers. God will tell you what to do. Solve it this way. Do it this way. Try this. And you'll be surprised that the solution is right there. Say amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to close. Really? Okay. It also means to make efforts over a long period of time. To follow hard after something is to make efforts over a long period of time. To make efforts over a long period of time. Number 4, it means to carry out something to its logical conclusion. To carry out something to its logical conclusion. To make efforts over a long period of time is to follow hard after God. Amen. That means we must serve God for a long period of time. Just follow him for a long period of time. Amen. For a long period of time. I thank God. I've been following the Lord for some time.
Wow.
Since I was a teenager,
wow.
I've not had breaks of God. No, I have not had any breaks or a season where, you know, I'm backsliding for a little bit, like a period of 6 months where I didn't go to church, or a period of 3 months where I was just somewhere, nobody knew where I was, just freaking out and doing different things, just some time, and then, you know, returning back to the Lord for some time and, you know, on and off. No, by the grace of God. Not like, it's by the grace of God, you know. But by the grace of God, for me, it's just always been God. Always following hard after him. Yeah. It's a blessing for me. And I don't regret it one bit. I don't. Rather, those who went the other way are now coming to join me. So I get to be their pastor. Only because I've been in it longer. You see what I'm saying? Yes. Most people, why do you think even funeral homes have a place for a priest? It's not even a church. Just a place where they bury people. You see that? Because most people want to check in with a priest before they check out, eventually. Yeah. Everybody knows that, look, you can ignore God all your life, but just before you leave, most people know that, look, we just have to just check in with God before we exit, finally. Hallelujah. It's not worth it. If you have found God, now is your blessing. Because anyone who doesn't have God will, the Bible says every knee will bow. It's more of the timing. When will that knee bow? But as for bowing, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So be prepared to follow God for a long time to come. Amen.
Amen.
Plan to follow God until you're an old woman.
Right.
An old man.
Amen.
Serve God in your old age. Amen. Number five, it means to pursue something in order to catch it. Number six, it means to pursue a particular aim or a particular result. And number seven, it means to follow something in order to overtake it. Amen. Following hard after God. My soul followeth hard after God. I pray that you will follow God as hard as you follow anything else. And follow him harder than you follow many other things. Amen. Follow God harder. Always use God as the standard. Tell yourself, if I can do this for that, I must do it for God also. If I can go this far for this, I must go that far for God. If I can serve God, if I can do this so often, then I can do it that often also for God. Amen. If I can take a novel and just read it, I can take the word of God and read it too. If I can take music, if I can watch a movie, I can watch a 2-hour movie, 3-hour movie. You know, and even when, after you've been watching a movie for 2.5 hours and it's ending, you are kind of upset. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. After you've watched a movie for from 4 o'clock to 6:30 p.m. and the movie is ending, you are upset. You even pause it. Sometimes rewind, you want to see parts of it again. So why don't we have the same interest in the things of God? Why is it that when it comes to God and God's things, even preaching, we want it to end? Yeah? Want it to end. Oh, let's do something else. And it's not the preacher. No, it's not the preacher. It's you. Hallelujah. I pray that God will give us a heart that wants him. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service. Wow. Bow your heads with me, everybody, please, and let's pray as we close the service today. Pray for yourself. Just take a moment. Ask God to give you a heart that follows hard after Him. Just say, Lord, please give me a heart that is following hard after You. Forgive me for being so passive. I want to follow You like a police car would chase a criminal. I want You to initiate a police chase in my heart for You, where my heart throbs after You, where my heart beats for You, my heart yearns for You, Lord, for Your word, for Your people, and for the things that pertain to You, Lord. Especially as we approach a new year, Lord, I'm asking, Father, that You will give me new energy and new strength. New energy and new strength. I don't want to take any breaks off God, please. I don't want to have periods in my life where God is absent, where I'm on my own doing my own thing. I don't want to have such times anymore. Those belong to the times behind me. Today I'm beginning a new journey with You, Lord. And I'm asking that You will help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus, to live for You. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after You. You weekend of the year. Just one more weekend to go. God has kept you. What is so wrong with you coming to God and saying, Lord, I want to commit my life to You. I realize You're interested in me because You must have kept me around for a reason. For someone who hasn't cared so much about you, it's surprising to me, Lord, that you have kept me alive. You must have a reason and some interest in me. And so, Lord, I want to commit myself to you today. I want to begin a new relationship with you. I want to ask that you forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me and cleanse me and make me a child of God. I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want to know you while I'm here on earth. So give me that chance, Lord. If this is your prayer, just raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here like that today? Anyone who wants to give your life to Jesus today? Anyone who wants to begin a walk with God today? Is there any such person here today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we all just say this prayer together then? Let's say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart.
That you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth.
And I confess with my mouth.
God raised you from the dead.
God raised you from the dead.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
I'm a sinner, Lord.
I'm a sinner, Lord.
Only you can help me.
Only you can help me.
My sins have separated me from you.
My sins have separated me.
Separated me from your intelligence.
Separated me from your
power. Separated me from your power.
Separated me from,
separated me from your knowledge.
Separated me from your knowledge.
My sins have brought a big gap between you and I.
My sins have brought a big gap between you and I.
But today I'm closing the gap.
But today I'm closing the gap.
By drawing near to you.
By drawing near to
so you. So you may draw near to me.
So you may draw near.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my
Let
sins.
Your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse
and me. And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we pray for a spirit of hard following. Let that be birthed in us in the name of Jesus. Let next year be a year where we follow hard after you, where we do some extreme things because of you, where we go to great lengths to do some new things because of our quest to follow you in a hard way. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. While you remain standing, let's have communion. Brothers, sisters, we are one, and our lives have just begun. Body of Jesus Christ and for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us, for the remission of our sins and for the healing of all our diseases. Thank you, Lord, that every disease represented here today is cut off by the blood of the Lamb. Is cut off by the power in the blood of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus, whatever cannot be found in Jesus will not be found in us. Whether it is sin unto unrighteousness or sickness in our bodies, Lord, whatever cannot be found in Jesus will not be found in us.
Amen.
Let the communion today heal all backsliding. Let it heal all backsliding. Let it heal all backsliding. Let new energy come into your people. Let new life come into your people. May we go in the strength of this meal, Lord, for many, many days to come. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the spirit of the heart follower. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Just take one and just share it. Eat his body, drink his blood, and just real fast, just song of love. Of God,
hear His holy word and gather round the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sons of God,
hear His holy word, gather round the table of the Lord, eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Take the bread. Say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
You may eat the bread. Take the wine and say, the blood of Jesus Christ.
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 You may drink. I will cling to the old rugged cross and its chain. Thank you for deliverance.